Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 21. Please be seated. Merge right. Left lane ends 1,000 feet. There you are driving on an unfamiliar interstate when you suddenly find yourself trapped in the wrong lane at a construction zone. And try as hard as you might, nobody will let you move over. Eventually, of course, they must let you move over, but you can remain trapped in that diminishing lane for a long time. The Advent season reminds us that this world is in the throes of death. Not only do we have a culture of death, we also have a natural world that is in a death spiral. The cataclysms in the world of nature have not been placed there by God for his own amusement, but to warn us of the world's impending collapse and destruction. I suppose the people living along the coast of North Carolina might be a little easier to impress with this fact than many of us here in the Midwest. After all, we've had a nice, mild autumn, and the long-range forecast for winter is not severe. Perhaps we have paid too little attention to these things, or at the very least, we have minimized them by saying that they occur all of the time somewhere in this world, and that would be true. They do happen continually, and yet that should be a rather large clue that this world, the created order, is circling the porcelain fixture. In his mercy, God gives our world repeated warnings through the cataclysms of the natural order. I may claim not to have seen that sign on the interstate telling me of the impending construction zone, because really there aren't all that many of them. But the world cannot claim to have missed God's warning signs that the created order is in the throes of death. What goes on in the world of nature is paralleled in the political world. Chaos and upheaval is the usual order of things. 9 years ago, I said in a sermon on this text, bitter fighting continues to rip Yugoslavia apart. You see, I was a prophet. Not much has changed, except that Yugoslavia has ceased to exist as a real political entity. The Soviet Union has long since collapsed into its component parts and continues to do so, as are numerous other hot spots around the globe. Stability is not the watchword, but dissipation is. Dissipation is a wasting away, usually by misuse or excess. Jesus tells us here to take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare. How horrible to be trapped by your own sin! How horrible to be caught up in the web of your own deceit and worry! How horrible to be dragged down in the death of the created order with these things tied around your neck. A man who works for one of our members recently reported his company vehicle stolen. He claimed to have parked it right outside in front of the bar he had been visiting. Within 2 weeks, the insurance company paid off on the vehicle. On a Sunday morning, 2 weeks after the incident, a secretary from the firm found the vehicle parked around the corner from another bar 3 blocks away from the first one, or from the second one. So she went to the office and got a set of spare keys and drove it back to the fenced-in parking lot. On Monday, she reported that she had found the vehicle. The embarrassed employee who had been out of town could not remember visiting the first bar, and he had no recollection of how he had gotten to the second one. He assumed that he had driven there. There are complications. The insurance company now believes it has been defrauded. The police are uneasy because they couldn't find the vehicle, which was parked only 3 blocks from the alleged crime. And the man himself is in deep you-know-what with his employer. He has been trapped by his own dissipation. A number of years, the Campbell Soup Company advised the choice of 21 kinds of soup and simultaneously listed 22 kinds. On an annual basis, they received anywhere from 200 or 400 to 700 letters informing him of their error. But it pleased company officials because it meant that people were reading the labels. Do we carefully read the label that God has placed on the created order? Warning, this world will be destroyed at my command. Everything in it will be consumed. Please do not hold on to the contents. And so Jesus pictures men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. That's the reaction of those who hold stock in this worldly corporation. It is the reaction of those who have led the dissipated life, the life which is lived at loose ends, the undisciplined life, the life which does not know which direction it should take. It is the life which has indulged itself to excess, not realizing that there is a payment to be extracted. It is the life unable to meet the sudden demands of the Lord's Day of Judgment. But the Christian knows that this world is in the throes of death. He knows that the end cannot be far off. He knows that our Lord will return soon. But he is not alarmed by that prospect. In fact, it is great good news that this created order is soon to end, because it means that the final redemption is near. He knows that the end of this created order means the consummation of all of God's promises. He knows that he shall be in the nearer presence of Christ. I like what J.B. Phillips has done with Romans 8:19, even if it isn't up to our usual standards of accuracy in translation. And there he says, the whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. Here is no anxiety, no angst over the end of things, but of joyful expectation, eager longing for our Lord's glorious arrival. It's like the child's joyful experience of Christmas morning. And at that time we shall, in Philip's words, come into our own. And then the full inheritance which is ours in Christ shall be conveyed. And it is great good news that the kingdom of God is near. And yet, it is already here. His gracious kingdom is ours already. In holy baptism, God the Holy Spirit brought us into his kingdom and made us heirs of Christ. And here in the blessed sacrament is the oft-repeated pledge of our inheritance, the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Here we receive that foretaste of the feast to come. Being here, receiving these precious gifts of God, is how we take heed, how we prepare. It is in the immersion in the life of Christ that we are insulated from the death of this world and transported to the life of the world about to dawn. And so it is that we look up with expectant, hopeful, joyful eyes. Soon, very soon, our Lord will come in great glory, And what is the old order will pass away into everlasting oblivion, just as he himself has given witness in the world. And then we shall enjoy the fullness of that eternal feast. But even now he comes to us yet in grace. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.